Blog Talk Radio.
The Spirit of God is in this place. The Spirit of God is strong in this place. I feel His anointing strong here. If you might be expecting something, just open your spirit to receive. Whether you are watching us through the networks, open your spirit to receive. This song is entitled Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I love you. You guide me all things.
Is the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, sweet Holy Spirit.
Clearly an indication of We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The people are not our enemy. It is the spirit that is dominating in their life that is the spirit. So this exposure, and the Holy Spirit will expose the spirit. He will give you the insight to know. He will give you the warnings. We're given the information of all of the characteristics and the traits of Jezebel and how this spirit operates in real time, spirit to release monies and to offer monies and lavish gifts on people and persons and leaders, all in an attempt to gain influence. This spirit lusts for power. It boasts of revelation, and it wants to say it is a prophet, but it is a false prophet with strange fire. And then the confrontation. That's the confrontation that most people won't have because they choose to allow the Jezebel spirit to rule because they fear this competition. And that is going to be broken with the truth. That's going to be broken with the information of this spirit, where it comes from and what it operates on and what it looks like and how to identify it and what is the power struggle it is trying to gain. The end result is an intense power struggle that often leads to a split where the strong prophetic ministry is vital, shows what is happening and empowers the people to see it from a spiritual rather than an emotional standpoint, because the Jezebel spirit works in seducing the emotional aspect of individuals, those that are broken and weak and those that have been wounded and those that are in need of, they've been offended. And so that's the phases of Jezebel. Now, casting down, chapter 5, casting down the demonic queen Jezebel, conquering brings contamination. Jezebel is found in the Old Testament. She is used to defile God's people, tear down the altar of God, release demonic Baal worship, engage in seductive seduction, destroy the prophetic ministry in the land, and pollute the kingdom. She is a demon-possessed witch masquerading as a prophet. But she was no true prophet, but one who carried strange fire, evil utterances. And we know that she presents the story of Jezebel, Ahab, and the prophet, and how at that confrontation, even the prophet went away, weakened from that intense battle that he had, that confrontation that he had with Jezebel. He went away and he laid down to die. And yet, one of the things the author shares with us that is available to us is an angelic ministry is assigned to us. And we need to understand and know this and call it into being intercessors and those that are praying for the prophets, praying for any leader in any position as they come in confrontation with that ruling demonic spirit that we're praying their power and their anointing through specific things that are attached to that warfare, not just in general, but very, very specific things. And we get that from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jezebel was a false prophet of the demon god Baal. She operated in powerful seduction to accomplish her will and the will of Baal. Her alignment with Ahab sent the nation into a downward spiral of wickedness and idolatry. And we can see that today. I thought it was very interesting that Jezebel cannot function without an Ahab. And so the deception comes through Ahab. And just as it was in the garden, the deception came to Adam through Eve. But Adam could not be deceived. Adam had to choose to hear and to take what Eve said over Adam considered in his mind. One of the things that's shared here is that the way the enemy, the way Jezebel gets an open portal into our emotions is by presenting something, and rather than us tearing it down, when it comes, we allow it to consider. We don't undo it. We think about it. And if things start in your thought process, in the process of your mind, that's where the battle starts. That's how the portal is open. So when our mind is guarded by the word of God, then we are not subject to that kind of seduction because of, first of all, the ministry of the Holy Spirit will give us insight into it. It was interesting they shared the meaning of the word Jezebel, and it meant unmarried, unhusbanded, or unexalted without dwelling or habitation. So this spirit has nowhere, and so it needed someone to inhabit its desire, and that's how they seduce you through your and our ambitions to embrace them, and that gives them entrance into our interest, into our freedom, entrance into our ministry, into our family. So one of the things it shared is the fact that why would a man want to connect himself to someone that is without husband? In their mind, in their understanding, they are not covenant keepers. They are rank breakers. They are not looking at the relationship through a covenant. They're looking at it through their own agenda. Ahab had no business marrying this woman and forming a covenant with a covenant breaker. What can we expect if we attach ourselves and those things that are attached to us, whether in ministry or in family, if we attach ourselves to that which is a manipulating demon, that we will have those manifestations in our lives. And the demonic idolatry of wanting and having this ambition to want, and that's what the Jezebel does. involved and you want to be accepted with people. You want to be with the in crowd, if you will. And so at a very high cost, we allow that manipulated spirit to dwell in us and then use us to gain entrance into the ministry, into the life and the structure of the church, into the structure of the Christian. So we must heed the warning that we receive this truth as we receive a knowledge of this spirit. And the more we learn, the more we grow, because the better our warfare becomes, because we understand God's plan to overcome it. His plan, His plan to cast it down through us, cast down to, I can never go through that whole thing of stuff. Cast down, tear down, expose, uproot the plan of the enemy. So don't become that Ahab that allows Jezebel a portal entrance into the church or into the family. And when you take all of this that we're learning about Jezebel, and you look at a lot of family situations and circumstances, and you can see how that's what Jezebel is doing, drawing a wedge between different individuals and basing it on their hurt and their needs or their ambition, their own agenda, what they think is best, not what God is requiring in that season. Okay. So what is the warning is to know these things, identify these things, and then God has a simple solution to all of this, and that is to humble ourselves, to repent. And so we see that that scripture in the Old Testament, if my people, he knows that these things are going to come, but if we will but humble ourselves and surrender and turn from our way to speak up and not allow Jezebel a place, a stronghold, an entrance, a portal, but to call it out and to stand up firmly in authority, because we have this authority. But when we don't know we have this authority, then we go into the battle defeated already, and we're expecting something to happen that's not going to happen because we're not understanding the battle. We're not understanding the different characters that are involved in this conflict, the different spirits and where they come from and what they are designed to do. One of the signs of the manipulating spirit of Jezebel is chaos and wickedness and an idolatry. And we think of idolatry as worshiping, you know, a cow or a flower or whatever. But idolatry is worshiping anything that we put before God. It could even be our children. You know, it could be our health. And some things, in all things, must be put in priority aside God. You know, so he comes first and everything else should line up with him. And so not as what we desire or think one of the questions I have in the comment of the lesson on page 87, when it says the Jezebel spirit neither honors nor recognizes covenant. When the spirit operates in a family, it manipulates and forms alliances to fulfill its own evil agenda. When the spirit operates in ministry, it totally disregards authority, honor, and relationship to prepare to pursue its own desire. And in the margin I wrote, the moving, why did I get there? And so often these covenants are not honored because the reason for marriage was not honorable. They had their own agenda. And when it doesn't meet their agenda, even though the agenda may seem like a pleasant, good, and powerful one, and everybody should want it, whatever God's will is what we are to line our lives and our emotions up to, not what we want. Otherwise, we allow Jezebel's spirit to come and bring a division between us and the will of God, because then we start seeing our ambitions are disguised often in terminology that, you know, it makes sense using the name of the Lord. And yet, it's the heart of it is not to glorify God, but rather to meet an agenda or need that we decided we should have, whether it's decided to us by our culture, our times, our circumstances, our situations. But God doesn't work on circumstances and situations. He works on his will. And whatever the circumstance or situation is, then he says that he will make all things work to our good. So do we believe his word? Are we really walking in faith? Or is our faith being tested and we are falling short? And again, all we have to do is humble ourselves and repent. Cut all affiliations with turn from the wicked ways, which means to completely change our, and we have to understand that what the word is telling us, to renew our minds, change our thinking. Controlling personalities must drastically change their method of operation and thought process. They must undo years of learned behavior and get emotional healing along with spiritual deliverance. Cast out, here we go, reform, rethink, renew, and undo the yoke of evil spirits. This we do in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it will be triumphant. It has been. It's already established to have won. And so when we do this with that knowledge, with the knowledge and the true understanding of the blood of Jesus Christ, we cast down, we reform, and we rethink our thinking. We renew it as Jesus Christ is poured into us and preparing us for where he has assigned us to go into. The author shares how this confrontation and this confrontation with Jezebel ends in weakness, in a weak bitterness, and in a sick bed. And just so often, you know, people will take it, well, then that means that anybody in a sick bed has a spirit of Jezebel. And that's not true. It is not true. But do know that that's part of what happens, because once she leaves, when we resist and that spirit is called out and exposed, they often leave a curse on the place, and that curse, but that curse can be torn down, pulled up, exposed, and we will see the deliverance from it, because we will understand what the battle looks like. We will understand the battle. And he brings out a good point on compassion. And he says that there is a reason that the enemy uses compassion against us to allow Jezebel to have a stronghold, a foothold in our lives, in our ministry. Because we are to be merciful. We are to be compassionate. And yet there are some things that we have to not, we cannot define them in our own thinking. So we cannot try to emulate them in our living. But we have to give them to God and look to Him, the Holy Spirit, to give us the definition and what it's going to look like. For that compassion, you know, that tough love, that standing firm on the word of God. So we see where we have this unholy alliance between Jezebel and Ahab, and yet there is a holy alliance through dominating anointing, and that's the apostolic and the prophetic. It was a very good section on the apostolic and the prophetic to teach us that those are the offices that are put in place to displace Jezebel. They are mantled to shake up things, the apostles. They are the sent ones, but they are the powerful ones. The gift is strong and bold. Apostles are sent, and we know this, and yet I see it reinforced almost in everywhere we turn and everywhere we go, we hear, we learn, and it's like there's so much more to it that we need to embrace. And not just, oh, yeah, yeah, I know what that is. No, there's so much more behind that. It's just like you may know that a general in the army is in charge of things. And yet, there's those things that you don't have a clue about. They are a myriad of things that the general is in charge of, has the authority over and the control of. And so it's understanding at any junction when we come in conflict with the ruling authority, the establishing authority of the apostle, what that looks like. And that is the spirit of manipulation and discipline. That is the spirit of Jezebel trying to gain an entrance into a ministry that the apostle is setting up of people, nations, and ministry. They activate gifts and callings and destiny. They activate the destiny. They teach and train people to redeem and rebuild the mighty works of God. And these are just words we've seen and we studied and we've preached on and we taught on. And yet they have so much more meaning to them in real time, in the day's time. What does redemption look like? What does rebuilding look like? And we don't know until we are trained by the apostles, who are enlightened by the prophets to what the will of God is in this season. And so it could reasonable teaching. But if it is not directed by the prophetic word from heaven, then it is not preparing this portion of the army for the warfare that is to come. The apostolic spirit is one of strength and power. When apostles preach, they change and challenge the demonic powers and push back darkness. Push back darkness. And I read that. I just kept reading it. They push back darkness. Just as Christ and God said, let there be light. And it pushed back the darkness. That's what the apostles do. They push it back to establish God's will so that we can see it. So that we can see it, because the prophet already sees it. He can see it in the dark. And so he has to share that with the apostles, who then must bring it to the people so that their eyes can see it. Train them and give them kingdom activities and training that strengthen their calling and their gifts and the destinies on their life. They are mantled to shape things up. They make demonic powers nervous. Now those are some who, for there are those some who falsely teach that there is no modern day apostle. But that is an error. The church still needs that office to train, appoint, and release today. The kingdom is growing and expanding even now. Apostles were listed first, and we talked about even on Wednesday and on Monday, and this just keeps coming into our understanding, getting deeper and deeper and broader and broader, and it's encompassing more and more so that we have an understanding that one of the things the song in the beginning shared, that people are watching to see the next move. But if we don't understand it, then we won't walk in it, and they can't see it. And that means that the power of evil are prevailing, and God's power is not being exposed. The church desperately needs prophets and the prophetic ministry. It is absolutely impossible to establish the victory without prophetic ministry. These two anointings work together to unlock kingdom plans and purposes. Prophets are in high definition. They see in high definition. They are lifted high into heavenly places to see coming attacks, to warn, to unravel mysteries, and to be exposed to huge dreams in the heart of God for his children. They shine bright lights on the pathway for the people of God. Prophets confirm and affirm. They speak God's plan and his heart over his people, connecting them to eternal purpose. And that connection to our eternal purpose is what renews our unravels our cultural point of view, our natural and our physical understanding, and that meaning not to our own understanding, but this prophetic view, this high definition, and this revelation that is able to see, will speak of God's plan and his heart over his people, connecting them to eternal purposes. And the purpose eternally of what you were created to do, not something that's just a good thing to do as a Christian, but something that is an eternal. This is your destiny, that the apostle is bringing out your destiny and your gift and calling to accomplish this destiny. When the prophetic ministry is functioning in a strong and healthy capacity, it creates a life-giving flow of heaven on earth. Prophet on one of the most special invitations of all, for the Lord shares their secrets with them. And we know, 8, 3, and 7. We know it. We know it. We know it. And yet, do we really know it? Is there a part of God in this that we don't know, that we need to know, that he wants to introduce to us? We live close to the Father. We are invited to explore all the vast chambers of his wonderful imagination and its innumerable capacities, creativity. We are also invited to explore the depth of his vibrant, rich, and compassionate heart of love, his heart of love, probably ultimately reveal the heart, mind, and dream of God for his people. Prophets are revealers. Strong churches, strong ministries, and strong believers enforce the reign of Christ. They use the authority that Jesus granted and stand boldly upon the promises of God. They do not shrink back when the enemy rears his head. It takes people who know who they are in the spirit to conquer the operations of the evil enemy. Apostles and apostolic ministries guard the gates. They do not allow demonic powers to keep their hold on people, places, or leaders. They march forth with a strong word from God and an authority in the spirit. The demons in the early church era knew who the apostles were because they were constantly dismantling their structure and kicking them out. That's what apostles did. I've been talking a long time, but I'm sure it's time for somebody to say, okay. I just felt like this is just such a gem in the middle of this casting down the demon queen Jezebel and understanding why she is going to attack the prophet because of the prophet's position to the apostle and the apostle's authority over the demons. And so it's connected, and it's very important that we understand the connection so that we don't get in the way of it, so that we understand that when we don't obey the authority in the house, that we're being used by the enemy of the house, and we can't often say what the house is supposed to do. That's what the prophet and the apostle establishes. And some people feel like, well, I can too. And they can, but only when they are in line with the prophetic and the prophetic of the house, because every house doesn't have the same calling that they are to walk in. Not that we are all to walk holy and in love with Christ and obedience to the Holy Spirit, but there is a path that we have to walk because there is an assignment that is uniquely given to us, which creates our destiny of why we were even formed in our mother's womb. And so we have the spirit of Jezebel wanting to undo that, and is not able to undo it unless we allow it to stand. And so when we allow either the spirit of Jezebel or the spirit of Ahab to have authority in the house, then we are opening portals. I used to just shudder when they would say it's opening a portal. It's like, oh, what does this mean? No. Okay. But I understand the spirit realm is going back and forth, up and down. And the enemy is walking to and fro to see who he can. So he's peeping in windows. You know, he's standing outside of doors. You know, he may be watching the activity and realize there's some faithful people in there and faithful people that know to pray and know who they are a problem. So I need to get in there. And that's what Jezebel, they call that demon rank breaker spirit to go forth to entice so that they can just get a glimpse, but a one finger in that door, because once they do that, then they're in. And so it behooves us to understand that even if we stumble and that happens, that God has a way of escape. That's the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus will cover us and cleanse us and cause us to live in victory of the repentance of in our hearts and in our minds. And that's how the Jezebel spirit is taken down. So we have some minutes left, and insights, your thoughts as you read this first part of chapter 5. What stuck out to you?
Good morning, Mr. Paulette. I did not get that far into it, but it's, I find his writing to be very informative to the body. You know, in order to recognize, helping to recognize and understand what this spirit really was and how it worked amongst God's people and is yet working. So as in other readings that we have done, you know, I find it that God has really used different ministers of his to inform his people about different things that we wouldn't ordinarily, I guess, if I could use that word, may come into the, can I say, complete understanding of?
Yes.
So, as, you know, as before, I think sometimes it takes more than one reading of the information or that which God has inspired them to write. It takes more than one reading to really pick it all in.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that insight. It's very true, too. Absolutely. Anyone else?
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning, Elder.
I didn't get to the very end of chapter 5, but in the beginning, a couple of things that jumped out at me was, number one, I was always, I guess my only knowledge of a Jezebel spirit was sexual seduction. You know, I had never really heard anything talking about it as, you know, being a covenant breaker or a non-covenant type spirit or going against, excuse me, I'm sorry, going against authority and manipulation in other ways that wasn't dealing with sexual sins and seduction, that kind of thing. So I guess I shouldn't be talking if I can't talk and not cough. But when I was reading some of the examples of the author was giving with ministries that had been affected by a Jezebel spirit, and, you know, the husband and wife type situation. I guess from the very beginning, it is that spirit coming against the authority of the husband in the household, you know. And we see that with Ahab, the whole idea about like a bullying kind of spirit, you know, and then just the whole idea that the outside can be very charismatic and intoxicating, if you will. Some people have personalities that you just want to kind of be around because they exude so many things. I think that I don't say normal people, but just an average person might not have, you know, being right. able to talk and navigate different conversations and just having that, you know, like that extra boost of confidence. But
right.
when it said something about that anytime a prophet won't submit to the word of God, that, you know, you don't need really anything else to know that they're a false prophet, you know, but that
right.
if they're not submitting to what the word of God is, and I guess just as believers, we know what the word of God says. And but like I said, I have seen not so much now because churches are done a little differently, but, you know, I can remember being younger and seeing some ministers just operate in a way that on one hand was just incredible, like almost unbelievable, but then on the other hand, either really bullying daddy and, you know, saying all kinds of things across the pulpit to people, I mean, as far as belittling and, you know, that kind of thing. And people really kind of took it. You know, I mean, it wasn't, it was almost, well, that must be, he's speaking for God because he has been used in so many other ways. You know what I mean? As far as laying on the hands and in some cases, prophetic words. But I will say that in the two people that I'm thinking about, their ministry kind of ended in ruin. You know, it didn't produce lasting good fruit.
Right.
That, you know, ultimately they kind of succumbed to, or I guess you would say succumbed, maybe it succumbed, I don't know which tense would be the right, but they fell to into ruin, you know, and were, you know, discredited, if you will, in death. You know, because of some of the things and some of the things that people were saying. But, you know, I just think that, you know, when we're looking at this and you know, I said people would say, and I'm not sure if there's a scripture or not, but try the spirit by the spirit. I'm not sure if that is really a spirit. I mean, I'm not sure if that's really a scripture, but I understand the principle behind that. That sometimes when some things are too good to be true, you know, they really aren't, you know, they really aren't truthful. And I think that as ministers, as ministry started to have a hierarchy in some cases where you can't even really get to the ministers or the leaders of the church, that puts people in precarious situations. Because sometimes you don't really have an opportunity. You know, of course you have an opportunity, you know, because the Holy Spirit leads you. But I mean on a practical, you know, being able to touch my leader, you know, where some people just don't have that opportunity, you know, in their fellowships where they can have a conversation with the pastor because the pastor is insulated by so many people, you know, sometimes even layers of people, you know. You know, that kind of thing. So, this has just been interesting. And the one example where he gave of a minister's wife that had been become enamored with a prophet, or I don't know if he called her a Jezebel prophet or a Jezebel, but he was just saying how she got to the point where she wouldn't do anything, didn't want to make any decisions without the counsel of this woman, you know, and what it took to try to break that alliance, you know, that it was, you know, truly unholy alliance. And I don't know, the thing that I'm taking away is that, you know, thank God for the Holy Spirit, that we do have the Holy Spirit in us to lead us and to guide us into all truth. And when it seems like something isn't right, as opposed to continuing to walk in that direction, you know, to take that to the Lord and seek his counsel on, you know, is this really a person of God or is it not? Because I think sometimes you can get an inkling of things before the full thing is revealed. You know, just in talking to people, where you can feel that something may not be on the up and up, you know, but nothing that you can put your finger on. And I guess that's what manipulation is, having people to do things that maybe they otherwise wouldn't do, do things that don't seem like they, we'll say honor God, but I guess on one level it's not honoring God, but just, you know, being out of character. You know, I guess that it's showing that the activities of the demonic forces are run so deep and are so subtle and cunning that, you know, we really have to be not just aware but prayed up and studied up and you know, submitted so that we don't, you know, get caught up. Because you figured, you know, whatever time we spend in the presence of God and studying and all of those things, that you have a whole demonic army that's working 24/7, you know, 365 on their craft, you know. And I think you said earlier, walking to and fro, seeking whom they can devour, you know, continually. And the ambition, the piece of ambition that it talks about, being able to come in and take someone's normal or let's say righteous ambition and just corrupt that, you know, where things start off good, you know, for a good cause, a godly cause, a goodly cause, and, you know, get railroaded because we want to do stuff and, something, you know, having the zeal of the Lord without the knowledge. So this just, you know, lets me know. I think it says, Jezebel is lurking beneath a polished exterior. That, you know, everything that appears to be good, you know, in many cases is not. And so we definitely have to be on our job, you know. You know, staying close to the Father, studying the Word, so that we don't get not only taken, but, you know, I believe that everybody has the capacity to be deceived, but we don't, but at the point that we know that we move back or cut the ties, as opposed to giving people additional chances or being enamored, but they preach so well or they sing, you know, So, you know, those kinds of things that can draw us back to folks that may not have our best intentions in mind. Yeah, it was kind of it. And I also thought it was interesting that it talked about that the ruins get people on a sick bed in many cases. I think he says not all cases, but just that would be, you know, kind of like just zap you, zap your strength, literally, physically, and spiritually, you know.
Absolutely. I love it. The author shares a quote from another individual's book, Unmasking the Spirit of Jezebel. And what he says was that someone with an Ahab spirit would rather make peace at any cost, even if it leads to making an unholy alliance. I think we are always so very close to that mark too many times. An individual under the influence of the Ahab spirit often make truces instead of covenants. So in other words, you can't make a covenant with her because she's not a covenant maker. But you can make a truce. Let's make a deal here. Thus prostituting rather than sanctifying the relationship. But how can you have a truce with someone whose goal is to destroy you? It is and so I think that, you know, that brings it to real time. And, you know, how many times that you just want to, you know, I don't want to rock the boat or just whatever. Well, if the boat needs rocking or sinking, if that's what, you know, is called for based on the word and the will of God, then that's what we need to do. And yet that's that compassionate part that we want to display that is not a godly passion. It is a human flesh capacity, compassion, because it's something we would want people to do for us if we were caught, okay, in that. And so, you know, a lot of times we make an alliance with someone because we see ourselves in there, and rather than condemn them and ourselves, we'll just quietly go along with it or silently go along with it. Or as the author here says, make a truce instead of a covenant. Thus, prostituting rather than sanctifying the relationship. I thought that was very profound insight as to what it is we do, I don't want to say on a regular basis, but on a continuous basis that we need to examine. And get to the heart of it and make sure the alliance is not based on an ambition that I have or desire I have or me putting other priorities before God and having idol worshiping my position or my knowledge of my own or whatever it is. Excuse me.
Yeah, because when you come against that, then obviously you may be in peril. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It, even doing the right thing, you know what I mean? I think that's why he has this little section here on page 100 that's talking about fear not, when it says, while Jezebel is one of the nastiest spirits you will ever encounter, it is vital that you maintain a kingdom perspective on the authority that God has given you. We are to study and discern demons, not be afraid of them, but to be empowered to conquer them. And then it gives 2 Corinthians 2:11, for we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And, you know, it's saying that we have to fight, So, you know, it's going to be a battle, and, you know, a spiritual battle from the position of faith, wisdom, and authority. You know, it goes on. I don't think you get quite that far, but yeah, you know.
Absolutely. Okay. Right. Anyone else? I see we have the apostle on the line. You going to share with us the apostle?
Mm-hmm. Wow. It kind of brings about a spirit of fear and trembling when you hear it presented from that perspective. And while it exposes the itinerary of the enemy, it also highlights areas that you need to come up hither in, I guess if I would say. And the areas that I think somebody used the word just to come or, you know, kind of throw in a towel, it is actually giving in.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because you don't understand the necessity of the mandate of your authority. And so, you know, I would say it's something every apostle and prophet needs to hear. And then, but equally as important, is something that churches need to be infused
yeah.
with, that intercessors
yeah.
on a whole different level. It changes the ministry of intercession that our churches have on a whole different level to understand how to wage war. So it is a it brings me to a place of repentance and then to a place of understanding the dimensions of these principalities and how they are aligning themselves against our assignment. And yet the Lord is letting us know. So it's kind of like with that revelation, don't succumb. Don't give in.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, it's definitely something everybody needs to hear.
Amen. I know that I am better equipped, you know, for this lesson, for this book, and to understand, you know, that there's so much more that we never get to the end of our learning, which is why we have the Holy Spirit, because, you know, he's constantly going to pour into us what we need of Jesus to prepare us for our destiny. You know, and as he's preparing us and our destiny is unfolding, these things have to naturally be continued. It's, I think it says the flowing, heaven flowing on earth, that prophetic dream. And just the fact that I remember when, you know, many times, you know, we read about Adam and Eve, you know, and say, well, you know, it was all Eve's fault and she hadn't done it, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I realized that it's the Eve in all of us every day. And that was one of the repentance, part of repentance service for the men that the women were supposed to have. And it almost was like they were stiff-necked, you know, and they refused to do it. And so it is an indication. Doesn't matter, because apostolically you've shaken it up. So, and you've already established the gatekeepers to keep the demonic spirits out of those that are looking to do God's will. And so we rejoice in him. And we understand that. He's ever said is because it's going to happen to us now today. And every time we even give place to the enemy, which Adam gave place to Eve by listening to what she was asking him to do. And the author shared it with one of the individuals that the reason the portal was open wasn't because they weren't a man of faith in the ministry, but what it was is they allowed the imagery of what the spirit, the Jezebel spirit, was saying to them, and they got a picture of it. And that's where it starts in our minds. And then from there, it dismantled our faith. You almost forget all the good scriptures that you should know, the powerful scriptures that will empower you. And so it's a place where, you know, we have to remember the fruit and the voice of the enemy. And I think even the book says how the Jezebel spirit slithered around. And they had that in the movie when they crucified Christ, and how it was just a dark shadow going from one place to the other, starting a revolt against Christ. And that's what Jezebel is doing to the weak and to the wounded and to the troubled. And so they're the most vulnerable. And that is another reason that the apostle is so important, because the apostle, office of the apostle, trains and teaches and prepares, because other than that, we won't know. So just God's got a perfect plan. He really does have a plan, and we say it, you know, and we just don't even know the tip of the iceberg of it, but we're grateful that it's my good. Anybody else?
Yes.
And the man to all the above.
Amen. So we want to continue in chapter 5 next week. Yeah.
Yeah. What page did you stop at on chapter 5? Where did you
go? Don't run and don't hide. A 97.
Okay.
And I went over that Elijah and the angel. I think that that's another ministry opportunity that we don't take full advantage of, and that's our ministering angels. We may mention them, but we need to understand the doctrine of angels and exactly what they're intended to do for us in our manifesting our destiny. All right then. Be blessed. Enjoy this beautiful sunny day.
All right. Go take care of yourself.
We're gonna all
get extra tissue, lemons, honey, and rest. So.
Hey,
amen. So we'll be ready for Sunday, huh?
And get our Bible.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Or our prayer shawl. Amen.
All of the above. I'm taking everything I can get. You know.
Absolutely. All right.
Look at your email. All right.
And we'll talk later. Not gonna work. Okay.
You guys have a blessed Sunday.
You too. Enjoy.